why didn't the professor play professionally?
The truth is, like, nobody would consider my resume legit enough to get an NBA workout. Mm-hmm. And then, like, once in a while, I actually will go crazy and live up to that narrative. And I'm going to get moves off no matter what.
Oh, this guy is big. This guy's really big.
This guy's name is Big Jim.
Were there a lot of girls coming to your guys' games? Like,
oh, yeah. It was the groupie central. Wild, yeah, back then. Wild. Yeah, when I moved to L.A., I was like, that's why I like a party every night of the week.
Really?
I moved to L.A. in 06, and I would party on a Monday.
Was there something that propelled you into, like, finding faith?
I think God uses a whole bunch of things, never, like, one thing. You know what I mean? But, yeah, like, I mean, going broke and one ends out of nowhere. You know, I actually never said this publicly.
Grayson,
yeah.
Welcome back to the Courtside Club. Thank you for joining me once again. You're our first episode of season one.
Honored. Thanks for having me back.
You kicked us off the right way. We are now into season two.
Let's go.
I'm excited to catch up.
This is season two?
This is season two of Courtside Club.
Let's go.
It's like we're like midway through season two.
I see.
Changing it up a little bit, taking back ownership. My fans, obviously, like, I probably have on my channel, I think, like, 5 videos of us together. Okay. And I think 3 of them are in, like, my top 5 most popular videos on
my channel. Let's go. I love that.
Where you're teaching me how to do things.
Those, like, blew up.
Yeah.
I think also it was, like, early. We were kind of, like, early in the YouTube space, like, for hoop creators collabing probably wasn't as common.
No, at all.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
We just had, like, a little camera. Like, literally one camera, and you just taught me some moves. I think one of my favorite ones is, like, behind the back, and then it goes between your opposite leg.
Yeah. There's, like, no name for that move, but it's like behind the, all the way behind your back and between the legs.
Yeah.
I still do it all the time. Yeah.
We made up names for it to, like, title the videos, but even the thumbnails are just, like, so old school YouTube. But anyway, I know that my fans, obviously, love you and are excited for you to come back.
It was a good crossover because my fan, you know, you have a lot of guys, right?
Like, yeah, of course.
I never even told you this. I've met so many dudes like, you're going to be with Rach. You're like the dream girl for so many guys, you know what I mean? Especially from that time period, you know, people knowing 2K and stuff.
Yeah.
There was like grown men who wanted to come to the shoots. Like,
oh, that's funny.
Just to meet you. But they were like 2 heart eyes. I was like, I'm not bringing you up there for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, I don't know.
You know what I've been getting more recently, which you probably get, is people saying, you were my childhood, which, like, makes me feel, like, old in a sense. But it's, like, crazy because I started 2K, it was 10 years ago now, or over 10 years.
Yeah, it's, like, long. I know.
They were like, you were my childhood. Like, you were my high school. And then, like, they're grown adults now. They're like, I don't even play the video games that much anymore. And I was like, well, this is weird. The time is going by this quickly.
And it's funny because it'll just happen. There'll be 1 year where you'll hear that for the first time.
Yeah.
And you don't know when does it turn to retro nostalgia?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it happened for me a while ago. You know what I'm saying? But look, people would say that to me even like when I was starting YouTube, but they'd say it about And1.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what year. You know Spider-Man. You was in the Spider-Man series.
Yeah.
Then that became, I grew up on that. And I don't know what year that was. It was like.
Oh. So you transitioned from, like, I used to watch you in And1 to, like, oh, my gosh, I loved the Spider-Man series.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people with me don't even know what And1 is, you know? Like, half of my audience never heard it. Or they may have heard, but they're not, like, familiar.
Yeah.
You know? They just hear the culture, like oh, that was an And1 movie. You know what I mean? But they don't really know what it was.
Yeah. Should we reintroduce them to And1?
Yeah, man.
Peep game. That was your start?
Yeah, 03.
It wasn't your start in basketball, obviously, but I mean, you have guys, and I even watched your interview recently with KG, like, you have NBA legends who are calling you a legend, and you are, but that is really what just propelled you into this space and gave you such a respect on your name. Put some respect on your name, like, that's when you got it, you know, and you've kept it.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I was just a fan of And1, and I went and tried out, not knowing that the whole reality series that season was about the tryouts. I think I was so, like, deer in the headlights of everything that was happening.
Yeah.
Things were moving so fast. I remember I watched the first episode. We were already halfway through the tour, and I was hoping, like, one of my highlights would be on there so, like, I could maybe, like, pause it and then call my friend and be like, yo, I'm on the episode.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was all about the contestants on the reality show. Yeah. I didn't really. So the first episode, I'm like on more than half of it. Like the star, you could say the star of the show. But I wasn't. I feel like I wasn't notified of that, or I probably was, but I was so young-minded. So many things were happening that I didn't fully process that.
Yeah.
And I remember it was all cringe for me because I was like, why do I look like that? Why do I sound like that? You know? So, yeah. And what was the introduction?
Your friends calling you like, what's going on?
Yeah. It was very surreal and such a cool moment. But, yeah, it was my introduction to the – it was a blessing. It was great.
How long were you with Anwan?
It was 7 seasons on ESPN. It was from 03 to 08 for me. But Anwan went from 98 to 08, 10 years. Yeah. The Anwan mixtape tour. The brand obviously still around.
Right. Yeah. Which is in such an interesting place now. It's so different because I feel like, you know, we're getting older. But that culture, the culture of Anwan was what Anwan was in the past. Now it has become, like, in a sense, it's just more of a brand, you know? But they were so smart.
Well, nobody even knows the brand still. Like, the more people I talk to, like, they don't even know the clothing is still around. Like, even though it's, like, at Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, a mass brand now. Yeah. Not really a cool kid brand.
Yeah.
But I talk to tons of people who are like, what happened to that, man? That brand was – and I'll be like, well, the clothing's still around. I'll be like, no way. And I'm like, well, yeah, you've probably seen it. You just didn't know it.
Yeah. But I think, like, that was what made it what it was, because you attached people and culture to it. And that's actually – was the success of it. Do you know what I mean? The show was successful, obviously, but then you just had like that feel to it.
I was already culturing it. Senior year in high school, if you look at type in professor AAU/high school mix, I have like all my childhood all the way up to senior year in high school.
Actually, wait, you have that on your channel?
Yeah, it's on my channel. I uploaded like one of my early vids, like over 10 years ago. I have the Tai Chi and ones on my senior year. So I was actually... My first day at school fit, my sophomore, junior, senior year, was actually an Anwan head-to-toe, either a Jordan or an Anwan head-to-toe fit.
Yeah.
So I was, like, actually a super fan.
Well, you told me also, like, you played JV up until junior year, right?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't play varsity.
Yeah, it was so shameful.
I don't mean to, like, laugh in your face, but, like...
No, at that time, well, I love it now because that's my whole MO. I've always been, like, an underdog. Like, some of the young kids now probably don't receive me that way, right? It's more like I'd be the favorite, but I'm actually more... My true career, because there's always a digital narrative of how something is and then a real life.
Right.
The real life narratives, I'm always an underdog, so... Yeah, that I learned a lot, though. It was good for me, like, playing JV and all that, being, you know, counted out.
I think the burning question now for probably your new fans and didn't watch back in the day and maybe haven't seen your podcast is, why didn't the professor play professionally?
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't you in the NBA?
Yeah.
You know? What happened? You're beating NBA players. You're crossing up everyone. You're, you know, on the tour, getting buckets.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, because I'm such an underdog, there's no way I'm going to get drafted, right? I mean, that would have been completely unrealistic. I started playing, so I graduated 17, I made Anwan 18, and signed away my eligibility. So I played 1 year JUCO, but I already got cut from 3 other community colleges, got a walk-on spot because my dad persuaded the coach to give me a shot. I was supposed to redshirt. People got injured, so I actually played, but I only played 3 minutes a game. And if the game was close, I didn't even get in there.
Yeah.
And then after my freshman year, I improved like 300% to a point where I'd hold court during open gym. Like the scholarship athletes, it's a good thing I didn't come back, right? Because now the coaches would have had to make a political decision. If I was best player in the gym, it's hard to play your scholarship athletes over.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to go where the money's at.
Course.
Luckily for them, I didn't even come back. I just went to Anwan, signed away my rights, and went pro. So nowadays with NIL, technically I have 3 years left of college. But
oh my God, how hilarious would that be?
I know.
Wait a second. This video is being titled "The Professor is Going Back to College."
Yeah, 3 years college eligibility. But
you would put butts in seats. Oh my gosh.
I know, it's funny to think, right?
That would be wait, I'm like, can we petition for this? I don't know if this is age is a thing, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know either, but it was just funny. So no, the reality is what people, I've actually done 4 videos on my YouTube channel about this, but still every video, every comment, go to the NBA. Why are you not in the NBA? Yeah. Then there's other person like, this dude was net, he's garbage at basketball. He never had a shot. So the truth is, it's like, the answer is it's somewhere in the middle. So at 18, after my freshman year in college, I literally improved like 300% that spring and summer right there.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Something clicked. Like, I started lifting weights.
Yeah.
I got a little, you know what it is? I'm just a late bloomer. Some people just mature. I was always like.
That's what I was going to ask, because that's kind of wild, though. Like, that's the summer that you take a leap. Like, my basketball summer, I took a leap, was between 6th and 7th grade. You know, I was 12.
Well, the thing was, I always was very skilled, though.
Or, like, Michael Jordan's was, I think, also his, like, junior year or something. Like, Michael Jordan's was another, like, kind of late, but it was high school.
Yeah.
And then he had another, like, mini jump in college, but...
He's still a beast, though, because he got cut from the varsity. He's a freshman. Like, this doesn't even count. Like,
right.
It's a dumb story. Like, his story... Like, I got cut. You know what I'm saying? Like...
Michael Jordan's trying to play.
Whole Michael Jordan got cut. It's like, bro, he was on JV as a freshman. So, yeah, you got cut from the varsity. But anyway... No, but... So, I was always skilled, though. Like, in fourth grade, my trainer showed me the Iverson crossover. And the thing is with me is that what held me back in pro basketball, too, was I always looked like 10 or 15 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
But it not only just looked young, looked like an actual, like, kid, a child always. You know what I'm saying? So usually if you don't pass the eye test, you need to average, like, 30 to make up for your – so they can trust that your game is like that, even looking like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a reality. Like, Earl Boykins playing the NBA's 5'5 or whatever, he averaged, like, 30 in college. So I was never that guy. Like, my true narrative is I'm actually like an underdog, and I really surprise people. Like, if I play with NBA players like right now, the false social media narrative would be like, oh, you didn't break nobody's ankles. You didn't even hang at this. Or like I'm supposed to go crazy.
Yeah.
But the true narrative is I always been an underdog and play at a lot higher level than they think. And then, like, once in a while, I actually will go crazy and live up to that narrative. And I'm going to get moves off no matter what.
Yeah.
I can get moves off on any – doesn't – I got moves off of Drew Holiday. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting moves off.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who has been that guy that you got moves off on?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Drew Holiday, to be fair, like, you got a couple bucks. He's the best defender I've ever played against, so he's not the guy. But I got moves off of NBA. I got one on Darrell Armstrong, like, cross him up, fell in the crowd, score. Like, I went to the bucket, tried to, like, block it, and it tripped into the crowd.
Oh no.
But I went between his legs.
Wait, so all of these are public. Have there been any where you're like, don't have an audience?
Oh, a lot of private runs with NBA players, but you know, when I'm in that environment, I was playing like
team.
It's less about the show because there's no crowd there, so I'm not really like, you know, you go off the heezy in between the legs. Like, maybe here and there, you know what I'm saying? Because some trick moves are actually effective if you know what you're doing. So between legs here and there, but not for the most part. I was just playing more like just getting a real sweat in playing conventional basketball. But yeah.
So what you're really saying is I don't really play hard unless there's a crowd.
No, but I'll play as flashy.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't play as flashy. I would now, because that's the only way I play. I have no interest in no regular basketball. There's no point.
It's boring to you.
It's too boring, and like, I only look at the game as showtime now. I'm more entertainer than hooper. I'm like 60-70% entertainer, 20-30% or 30-40% hooper. But to go back to what you're saying is, the truth was, when I was 18, I signed away my college eligibility. So I did play pro. I played the ABA, played the IBA. I even played the CBA, which is the old G League. I actually was trying to make the NBA my first 3 or 4 years on there when I was still trying to make the NBA.
Oh, really? Okay.
But in that time... The truth is, like, nobody would consider my resume legit enough to get an NBA workout.
Mm-hmm.
But then later, I got a lot better. My prime, I feel like game-wise, I haven't reached my, in my person, maybe I'm delusional, but I feel like I haven't reached my prime now. I haven't had no decline. Like, people that know me, like, my guys have been with me for 10 years, they don't feel like my game declined at all.
Yeah.
But as far as...
you don't think, like, speed, agility, quickness, any of that?
Mm-mm, no, not.
I mean, that's sick.
But I don't play every 3 days, right? You play a real season, I probably would have had more miles. I probably would have got more worn down.
Yeah.
Everybody would have 40, right?
Yeah.
Even LeBron doesn't explode like he used to.
Yeah.
But I never jumped, so. mine's just quickness. Good. I'm still as quick as I ever was, for a fact. A lot of people think I was in my prime at and-one, but they're only saying that because we play an arena with 5-on-5, and then we're, like, running up and down.
Yeah.
Instead of a half-court game, but they're just basing it off. It's just the look, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yours are also kind of like mini movements. Also, it's not
a quick twitch.
Yeah.
But lateral. Yeah. Right. So the truth is, I think when I started working out with NBA players or D1 players, and I realized, like, oh, I could go back and forth this level, you know, like, mm-hmm. that was new news to me until it happened, right?
Yeah.
I was, like, in my late 20s, so, like, you're never going to get a shot. If you're a 5'10 white dude, like, being a rookie at age, what, 28, yeah. 25, 26, it's a stretch, right? It's just not. And then the high-ups didn't look at street ball as credible, right? Your street ball career is, like, it's more on par to them with, like, the Globetrotters. You need to, right. you need D1 pro for a year at least, mm-hmm. or a couple years to put in work. You need to be in the, what back then was the CBA or the D League, now the G League. You got to mm-hmm. prove yourself for like a year or two before an NBA high-up's going to be like, oh, he might be able to play with us. It ain't going to be like on and one going crazy with highlights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for context for the people, the truth is I wasn't good enough when I was in college or first going to and one because I was too green.
You weren't good enough at that time. But it's also, I think, and I wanted to ask you about it, how you feel about just the landscape of the NBA today because it is so different than even it was. I feel like back then, it was also a bit more traditional basketball. Mm-hmm. And you see now how the game has changed so much. The players are scoring so much more, too.
Yeah.
Some traditionalists don't like it. Some are like, oh, the game's better. I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle
mm-hmm.
because the competitive nature to me doesn't seem to be as there as it was
too big
before.
A business. Like the All-Star game, like nobody tries.
I mean, that was awful. The game
it was all-time worth this one.
The game was really bad.
I think as the
Adam
business
Silver
grows,
upset.
Yeah, the stakes, the personal brand for each player comes bigger. The stakes get higher.
So
there's
money.
More money. And so people don't want to look bad. And they don't want to be compared next to the other superstar. So you're right. But I'm like you, though. On the other side of the coin, the game, it'll always change. It's not going to stay like it was. It's impossible. It's always going to change. Everything changed, like music, right? Like some people are like, I only like 90s hip hop, but it's like it was supposed to stay like 90s forever. Of course it's not. It's always gonna change. Yeah, so I'm not worried about it. I think And1 and flashy basketball had a big influence
for sure
on the game today, and like a lot, like the way the guards play, and like when we were playing, like Iverson and Jay Will were like the first guards that were trusted to play like that. Because even Skip to my Lou, who's the first And1 player, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of my idols. He had to let go of his street ballness to be accepted in the NBA, which is what I dealt with in the CBA and all that. Like, I go off. I actually had 27-7 in a what would have been a D League, you know, it would have been the New Age G League, right? It was a CBA. It was NBA players playing. They dropped down. But it was like they didn't want me to be good. They was like, ah, it's street ball. It's like, ah, it's gimmicky.
Right. Do you think that you could handle yourself in today's NBA game the way it's played? Because it's different now. It's quicker. And it's a five-out stretch. So I feel like even somebody who's, you know, smaller, like you see somebody like Steph Curry who has, you know, dominated for however many years. That wasn't the traditional player.
Yeah.
And that's a guy who even also came from a smaller college, you know?
Yeah, I think I'd have to work out different. I'm not in good enough shape.
I'm not saying, and I'm not saying in that, but I'm saying take your, like, stature, your routine when you were playing games every week and you were kind of in the mix there playing 5-on-5, that would that translate to today's NBA game? Do you think it would be more accepted?
For sure. For sure. I mean,
I
think it would have worked back then too. It's like basketball, though, when you get to the elite levels, it's actually basketball's snobby. It's very snob. No, like NBA high ups, they're very snobby. Like, and even like, it's very alpha, so it's like, if you don't fit that mold or what they thought was like, oh, are you like that? You know what I'm saying? Then they're like, ah, oh, you scrub. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's the attitude towards streetball for the longest. Not now. Now I got friends who are assistant coaches, and they'll be like, you a legend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it was like this back then, it would have been different. I probably might have got there based off marketing. You know what I'm saying?
True. Actually, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, for sure.
True.
But, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, I'll go crazy. Like, today, like, I'm not in good enough shape to play every 3 days and go and play full court defense and all that.
Yeah.
Because I play a lot of half court because that's just, like, easier for social media.
Yeah.
And you get the ball more.
Well, now, like you said, like, you're playing for entertainment, period.
Yeah.
Like, you want to win, but it's not.
No, and the truth is, it wouldn't be, like, I would just play at a higher level than people think, and that's enough to be a win. You know, like the social media narrative is like, that people want you to live up to your name and like go crazy no matter who you play against. But the truth is, like, if people saw me play, it's always like more like an underdog situation, and they'll be like, man, I was impressed you were doing it. And then I'll get a move off and live up to the name. They'll be like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like yesterday, I got in a one-on-one with a dude 6'5", but he's like, he was a college, I don't know, college level, maybe pro, I don't know. And he beat me in the first game. We played to 7. He beat me like 7-5. And then we played again, and like, looked like he was having the edge, and then the crowd was kind of like, a lot of people just never see me play, so they're like, dang, is he going to lose twice? Like,
yeah.
And then I wasn't getting no moves off either, but then some point I kind of like got used to this guy's game and footwork, and then I crossed him out a couple times. Dude almost tripped over like twice, and they lost it because they're like, oh, shit.
Right.
That stuff is real, you know what I'm saying? And then I actually won the second game. And so, yeah, it's my whole thing. It's more under. So you asked me about playing the NBA. It's more underdog. Ish, but I'd get moves off against anybody. I'd say that.
Could you do a series? Do you think NBA players would be up for that?
They're so busy, and then like you said, the personal brands are always at stake. So if I collab,
it's their ego. Like if they lose to you,
it's not good business wise. Yeah. It ain't even good business wise to get one move done on them. I saw the other day it was a street baller. They were playing with Kyrie, and He like hit the ball away from him and posted it.
Oh, from Kyrie.
And if you're a hooper, like, that happens to everybody. I played a homeless dude yesterday. He hit the ball, but I was trying to do too many moves. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get it. Anybody can get a hand on the ball, right? I could get a hand on the ball. That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But, yeah, but that got posted, and then that has a narrative. Like, oh, yo, he's locking Kyrie. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like a false narrative.
Right.
So it wouldn't be good for anybody's if I shook them up or something. But we know that could happen, though, right? Like, I can go between anybody's leg. It don't even matter. You're going to have to foul me. I'm going to do a move. I'm going to get a move off in the course of a game. So if I collab with an NBA player, I would only collab with them. Like, I'll play 2v2 with them.
Got it.
With somebody. Yeah, because I'm for the good of other people's brand. I don't want to have, like, a threatening, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm past trying to be the best.
You,
like,
turn into the villain. It's like your villain arc.
Yeah, it's all about entertainment at this phase, though, right? Like, it's all about entertainment. It's not about being the best. Like, I left that way, like, the early 2000s, like, trying to be the best. Because how good can you, I mean, I'm not in the NBA, so when street ballers are trying to be the best, it's a very small ball viewpoint. Because, like, how good can you be? You play at the park.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I left that back in college for me, trying to be the best.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a hard feat, right? I feel like if you're not, and then this is your career, you got to be entertaining, you know what I mean? Because if you play conventional, he's doing step backs. Well, it's like, we're all competing for eyes. We already saw Steph Curry, 50. He already did that. Oh.
You're just making fun of my fundamental game.
No, I'm not even saying that. And listen, people are marketable for a lot of different reasons. I was just saying, this is how I looked at it. Try to do something that's not like the league.
Yeah.
But yours is for all different, though. Think about it. There's like the cuteness factor. There's like relatability.
Yeah. Well, I've never with my content tried to be like, hey, I'm the best. I don't. And everybody's like, oh, one-on-one this. I was like, I'm never playing one-on-one. You guys will never catch me dead playing one-on-one against anyone.
Wait, why not, though? You might bust somebody.
I wouldn't, though. I actually hate playing one-on-one.
Not a one-on-one player.
No, at all.
But there's nothing wrong with that, right? People don't know that.
I'm a two-dribble shoot player.
Sure.
Like, that's all I need to, but I'm not going to sit here and do all the things.
Yeah. I'll tell you the moves, though. Why not? Using shakes. Right. But I think relatability.
Cross myself up doing that.
Yeah. I think, but people can be marketable. It's not always that, like, skill based. Sure. I think, like even look at, like, people in the basketball influence, big followings of dudes. They're like college level or decent, but they might be really good at social, relatable. Yeah. All you need to do is be an entertaining watch.
How do you feel about the state of the WNBA right now? I have full-on debates with my viewers about lowering the rims in the WNBA.
Oh.
Because I personally.
Yeah, we think.
Actually, no, wait. What do you think? Do you think that the WNBA should lower the rim?
I don't think it needs any help, though. I think everything right now is on the rise, though. With the college game, those girls who are super popular with the NIL, they're going to then go to the WNBA. It's going to make the WNBA even bigger. Because, like, everything's going up right now. And honestly, it's a BS. How many dunks are there again? It's like two dunks again. You're not even going to.
Thank you. Some logic. So we basically feel the same way.
It's a dumb viewpoint. I don't even watch the NBA for dunks necessarily. Like, Not necessarily.
So have you been watching my content and you're just basically saying what I said verbatim? Because we have the exact same exact same.
I remember hearing that. And they were thinking, but I was like, it's not always about the dunk. Like, handles is actually more marketable than dunking, period.
And shooting.
It always has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when we're on Air One, the ball handlers are always going to be more marketable than dunks because dunking's really dope and it's like up there if you bang out on somebody, but like it happens really rare and then it's kind of it's actually unrelatable because like only certain people can like sky and dunk.
Right.
I always thought though with NBA, with girls basketball and WNBA players, I do think like more highlights will bring more attention to the game, but like it's not a couple dunks, right? I think like girls, it's only evolving though. It's only getting better now. It doesn't need like a rule change in my opinion.
Thank you.
Because I think even like look at the NBA though, it became more entertain. It's more entertainment based today. But the handles of like I said, J. Will and Iverson were the first like bring street ball to the NBA, and all the NIL. Well, like I said, those girls are gonna go to the WNBA. It's only gonna go up.
Yeah. Well, I feel the same way, and I feel like when most people are watching an NBA game, you're not sitting there on the edge of your seat like, who's gonna dunk next, like. That's not what you're watching an NBA game for. Like, you'll see it every once in a while. And I also just, like, from a practical standpoint, lowering the rim, and you're somebody who can also vouch for me, who plays at the park. Do you know what a revamp that would have to be for girls basketball to even have accessibility to a lower rim if we want to make it so, women are playing at an 8.5-foot rim. So now every church, every park, every wherever needs to now have two hoops? So girls
have another one.
Yeah. But it's like I used to play with guys a bunch when I was growing up or play at the park or play whatever gym you could get into, basically.
Yeah.
You would get into.
It could happen. I just don't think that's the fix. I think for the longest time there's a view of the women's game that it's lower than it actually is. And I think there was a perception of basketball snobby. It is, though. Yeah. At the highest level, it is, though. Like, there was a perception of disinterest because they're garbage at basketball. A lot of people just think, they can't play. But then now, as time going on, it's like, no, like, a lot of girls are super good. Look at Sabrina shot against Steph.
Yeah.
I couldn't have got Sabrina's score. Well, shooting the threes.
The same as Dame, who won.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and Steph just had, like, a crazy round.
She might have won the men's.
Right.
Like, literally, like, round for round.
Right.
Her shooting is insane. And then, like...
Which is something I do feel like women can do because we're not... Biologically, we don't have the same, like, physical assets as men. And I, as somebody who didn't even have the same, like, athleticism as a lot of my peers who were girls, so I, like, honed in on shooting, because that is something that you don't need like a crazy amount of strength for. You just have to have that consistency. And so even with the NBA turning into this like 5-out spread game where there's centers shooting threes, like everybody has to be able to shoot a three in the NBA now.
Now, yeah.
You know? And I think that that's translating over to the...
Steph Curry changed the game.
Changed it.
Yeah.
Completely. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. But it's only on the rise. I am interested to see like Angel Reese and... Caitlin Clark, when they go to the WNBA, because like their brands are so big.
Paige Beckers, who's another one, her handles are crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know who that is, but
yes, you do. UConn girl.
Do I?
Blonde. She got hurt for a couple seasons.
Yeah. Okay. No.
Yeah.
I do know who that is. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens when they're in the WNBA. I think honestly though, the rise of the game, it's all about marketing too. A lot of it's just marketing exposure for a lot of things. So think about it. Now we're all into they were more into the girls tournament than they were the guys tournament last year or 2 years ago.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, fact.
Well, there was I think Caitlin's, her most recent game where she like broke Pistol Pete's record or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I don't know, whatever record it was the highest viewed college basketball game.
Wow.
So have that.
It's all about entertainment though. Yeah. It's all about what's a good watch. So I just think that WNBA was honestly unexposed and people didn't tune in for waves of thought that were in the culture, and I think it's being like unbuttoned now. Cause at the end of the day, like even look at what I do. I was never in the NBA, but it can be an entertaining watch that everybody could buy into. And I know that my brand is always bigger or more trending based on how viral you go, and there could be ad spend sometimes, and like Yeah. So it has to do with eyes on the mainstream. A lot of it's marketing. A lot of it's marketing.
Yeah. Speaking of viral videos, for halftime today, I would love to react to some of your viral videos.
Let's go.
Cool.
Let's get it.
This first video is with you and another one of my favorites, Jason Williams.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
They're at, or you guys are at your space teaching him a move. So you basically stole the idea that we used to do together and you did it with
Steely? I borrowed it. But no, I love J. Will.
Trick bag. I try to turn the defender. I'll come up. It could be all type of moves, right? But I want to get you to turn. Boom. So I go here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I give a quick in and out cross between legs behind.
Between mine.
Yeah.
This is a great moment. Like you know, like right Jay's highlights right are playing on that thing. It's really dope to watch his career highlights and then showing him a move that.
If I went in and out, it's kind of in their vision.
Right.
But if it's a little more.
It's funny. I actually went back and saw an old video where he did that move.
Yeah.
Oh, he's done it before?
He just didn't set it up like I did. But I saw an old video from the 2000s where he did it in China.
Oh.
Yeah.
He didn't even remember he did it.
To turn this way.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He said that. Sick. He told one of the homies when he left, he's like, I think I did that move back in the day.
Do you think that would actually be doable for somebody in the NBA?
Sure. How long have you known J. Will?
Yeah, so this was cool. You know, I actually known Jay for like 20 years. We met in 2004 at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, cool. Were you on tour?
Yeah, it was a quick exchange. He came to the And-One game. Really quick exchange, but always been really cool. Super cool people, very supportive. And then, you know, this move here, it's like I couldn't really give him a new move. I think what I said is there's nothing I could teach you with handles, but I just want you to react to stuff that I don't see NBA players do. See what you think.
Yeah. He's someone I feel like who, well, first of all, I've worked with him before in the past also, and he's amazing.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Actually, my video with him, is my most viral short on my YouTube.
Oh, wow. Let's go.
Pasta bars.
Dang. Lost. It's all good, though.
But he was actually teaching me how he passes to shooters.
That's right.
And he was like lining up the laces so that like when I caught it, the laces were pretty much
lined up
for me. The seams or whatever you want to
call
it.
It's a deeper level of thinking. I don't know if I ever lined up the laces.
Yeah, I mean, you do that when you pass, like when you're just shooting around, but in game it's so much harder, right? Because you have to pass in a split second. So if you're coming up the court or if you're passing with one hand, this and that, but he was able to set it up in a way so his shooters were ready to go because, you know, in the NBA, you shuffle the ball, defense is there. So it's like
you gotta shoot quick.
Yeah.
Super quick. I know.
But that video is really cool. So yours has over 6 million views for that.
Let's get it.
Cool. All
right. Yeah, let's go.
So you're getting.
I can beat. A little heezy, off the heezy. That's the friendly one, though. The roll off the head.
Yeah, that was just like a little tap.
Yeah, you know the irony with that one? The irony of that one is that was a collab with the original White Chocolate, Street Ball White Chocolate. I think Jay Will, there's a street ball player named White Chocolate.
Oh, okay.
He'd never been mainstream. Like, he won, like, an ESPN show, or excuse me, like, an MTV street ball show back in the day.
Yeah.
So, he has a following, but not on the mainstream. But, like, and I'm not sure. I think J. Will might be actually named after him. But here's the funny part. These were in the same week. This is, like, the next day. Those two vids you showed me, these were same week.
Okay.
Might have been the very next day.
Yeah.
But
you collab with both White Chocolates.
In the same week. Yeah, it was super fun. And yeah, it was funny when that person's like, show me what you used to do back in the day, right? Because he's a person who only knew me from And-One. So I have a very, very interesting demo. A lot of people don't even know I still play, right? I'm like a retro hooper to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And even in my own mind, you were saying it earlier, like people like I grew up on you.
Yeah.
In my own mind, I'm not a retro hooper. We're getting ready to hoop tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait. But I am to a lot of people. They find out I still play, and they're like, you still play, like, today?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. They're like, what?
It's like, show me what you used to do back. Like, what, you mean yesterday?
Yeah, because digital reach is, like, a lot of people, but it's just not the mainstream story. I do, like, two things a year that hit the mainstream, maybe three. But most of the stuff is, like, just digital.
Yeah, but I feel like if this is the new mainstream more and more.
I think more and more, slowly, but I feel like most people pay attention to what's on Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, and then Spotify and Apple for their music, and then the new sites around the top stars on those platforms. That's what, like, my mom or whoever, they just know that.
Yeah, but our generation and younger is...
It's changing.
Yeah.
It is changing, but it hasn't fully changed, I feel like, yeah. And it's saturated, you know what I'm saying? That's a big part of it, too. It's like, this might be the new mainstream, but, like, how many podcasts are there? How many YouTube... it's endless, so it can't hit everybody, right?
But I don't think anything hits everybody anymore.
That's true.
Besides what, like, Barbie?
Or, like, Cat Williams' interview with... Shannon Sharp.
But even that doesn't hit.
62 million. But it's not the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not billion.
Right.
But, yeah. So I think saturation has to do with it, too. It doesn't feel as mainstream. Whereas, like, whatever the number one thing is on Netflix, a big chunk of the culture will talk about that.
Right.
Right?
But even then, it's like the number one thing that's on Netflix will not be number one in 2 days.
Yeah, no. If you can stay ranked, if you stay ranked on Netflix for more than a few days, that's pretty good.
It's like Stranger Things is, like, one that will do that. You know, that will hit everyone.
For a few weeks.
But, I mean, it's crazy. Like, everyone's a creator now. Everyone's a celeb now.
True story.
However, this video has 23 million views.
Oh, this is a banger. This is a banger.
Professor Silence's defender with crazy move.
Yeah, so I think the YouTube video has, like, 20 million. So this is a heated trash talk. This dude wasn't as familiar with me, though. Young dude. Doesn't know AM1.
Okay.
Lot of ish talk, you know what I'm saying? Back and forth. He fouled me right there. He said he didn't, but he did.
Well, that's what you said, right? Most of the time, you can get a move off unless you get fouled.
Yeah.
On anyone.
I'll be on. I'm gonna say something after this. Watch. This. Look, he just. Yeah, he didn't see that one. It's a wrap. It's game over. But there's always a way to shake somebody up based on their stance. And then if it's not right, you just pull up. So a lot of people, it's twofold. One is a lot of people will see the vid and be like, why don't you just close your legs or stand up? But it's not. There's a counter for that. You can't close your legs and be on balance. I'm going to go around you and shoot a layup.
Right.
And then you could be like, oh, why don't you just sag off? And it's like, well, I'm automatic mid-range. That's like a layup. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you do that. You shoot it.
Mid-range is not dead.
Then you can't. You can't stop between – nobody can really stop between the legs because, like, if I cross over, you have to move, right? I'm going to go to the bucket. So I'm going to pull back. You got to move. You got to stop. So, like, in that instance, I pull back. I step back a little, like, I'm going to pull up, and then it's between the legs. You don't just telegraph, right? It has to be when you least expect is when you do it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. But then also, I feel like, at certain rates of elite basketball, you can't really stop nobody. Nobody can stop nobody, for real. Like, straight lockup. I feel like the only times we've really been stopped from doing moves or whatever, it's like, yeah, people just hacking. You know what I'm saying? We in the park.
Yeah.
Or holding.
Yeah.
A lot of people hold me. Like, it grabbed my shirt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, with my boyfriend Dre, obviously, like, defense was his thing, right? But I feel like with him and what I've come to learn, because I was never a defender, I was like, I just want to shoot the ball. I'll make sure people don't blow by me too much. But yeah. I never really focused on it like that. Him, it's like tendencies. It's watching hours of film on everyone. So it's like your bag is very deep and probably very different than a lot of NBA guys. But
yeah,
he'll be watching a game and he knows every player's tendencies. Like, oh, this player goes left however much, or he does this and steps. You know what I mean?
And that's so huge. You're already waiting on it. So that's a huge advantage. It's like, even for my vids, I don't want to play somebody I played before. Switch that up.
Because,
like, it's stupid. We ain't trying to win no championships.
Right.
I ain't trying to prove I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Like, this dude wants a rematch. Everybody wants a rematch later.
Of course.
And I'm like, kill that, bro. I don't even care. You should have, look, you had your chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it's true, though. I mean.
Because it's like if you play a 7-game series in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really just comes down to who wants it more, who's more physical. Because we know everybody's moves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why, like, the higher the levels go, you got to have, like, unstoppable move. It comes down to a choice. Like, if I'm going against somebody, based on how they stand, we know how to attack. And if you do this, I'm doing this. Well, if you do that, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You really can't. You just got to foul me. To be honest, to stop moves, you're just going to have to foul.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Well, he did there. So this one has nearly 60 million views.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
This is my biggest short form on two platforms.
Here's the Bugs Bunny.
Oh, this ain't even my channel. This is a compilation.
Oh, no, this is Omar actually posted this.
Omar's great. What's the caption on this?
It says the professor. You can't read it, old man.
I can't see it. It
says the professor is one of the best basketball players ever.
Oh, that's props.
With a fire emoji. Okay, wow.
I love that sound. That sound was dumb funny.
Well, that was the exact movie you're talking about. You went between his legs there. Oh, this guy is big. This guy's really big.
This guy's name is Big Jim.
That was mean. That one was mean.
For sure, bro. You gotta be. They're all mean. But that's the thing too. That's another thing though. Like, people I know will be like, "I want to play you, bro. Think I got a chance?" They're like smiling, and I'm like, we're going to have to get, it's going to be ugly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like playing people I know are my friends because at the highest levels, it's actually, you got to get mean. It's, we're not going to be, we might not be friends walking away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Unless they're like an athlete and they do that.
Yeah.
But it's great. Like, that was cool, Omar, to make that compilation. This first one though, this one's like, because he go right before this. So this is a separate vid on its own. He goes, you don't really, he goes, the game just, you know, we're a few possessions in.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, bro, this dude don't cross nobody, man. He's like, that's all for YouTube. Right then and there.
Oh.
He checked the ball. I actually just tried to run him over. I just was going, he's a fouling, right? So I went straight through his chest to his arm. He's like grabbing me. And I pulled back for a second. I saw how he's standing. I went, fake the shot, boom, between his legs. He spun around and hit the shot right at that moment. He just said that. And so then we subtitled it on the short form.
Right.
And this dude was hot. This dude was, I mean, he's stalking our social today, probably.
Has anyone tried to fight you?
Fewer than you'd think. Yeah, so.
Because, like, okay. This big guy right here.
Yeah.
You didn't actually push him to the ground, but he.
Yeah, okay.
That's embarrassing. Like, that one was bad.
There's a digital narrative on that
one was
push.
Really bad.
Yeah, so there's contact for sure.
No, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. It's just a little, like, you didn't push him. You just used him for leverage to go that way.
Of course. It's like balance, right? If I go between your legs, the ball's on the other side of your body. So we're both racing to it.
Right.
Of course I'm going to run into you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we're heated. So, I threw him over, man. He's got on my nerves. But
no one's ever, like,
most of the time, I don't ever try to push nobody. So that's, like, it's usually just a balance hand. That game was, like, we were talking a lot. But, yeah, like in China, I played a CBA preseason game, and I did an in and out behind the back, and the dude like did the splits, like the touch of earth, hit the shot. The game was really close, but the crowd started being on our side because we were playing street ball. It's preseason CBA, Chinese basketball league, like their NBA. And that came down, and then I was trying to go off the heat because I saw how frustrated he was, but that's people don't know. So, like, my secret, you're super frustrated. If I go off the heezy, you're gonna be more frustrated. That's right at the moment. If you go heezy between the legs, it's the perfect moment because you're gonna be like, and then it goes between, you know what I'm saying? It's too much of a whirlwind and things. But he moved his head, he like moved his head when I threw it, so it hit the side of his head. And then I don't know if it hit his eye or whatever, but he was really mad. So he picked me up and he threw me like 5 feet. And it went on ESPN top 10.
Oh, really?
And both benches cleared. And it was a big brawl. So once in a, I've had a few incidents, but I actually always try to show people love though. To be honest, now it's like a production. So like if somebody plays, they already know we're trying to get moves off. Most people are always sagging off. It's really annoying, but I show love to everybody. It never gets personal on my end, to be honest. And I don't even get involved in the trash talk unless it helps the vid.
Well, most hoopers, I feel like in general, it doesn't get personal because you guys are both in it. Like, it might in the moment, you might be saying something. But then after, it's like, it's Gabe, you know?
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes not. But most of the time. Most of the time, it's love. Yeah, that's what I'd say. 90% of the time, it's love. Maybe with the big gym, maybe a few others, a little awkward leaving the gym. But, you know, it happens. For me, it's always love. I never have no, It's a sport, you know what I mean?
You're so nice as like a human. Do you know what I mean? Like, you really are. Like, you're a really lovely person.
And I haven't always been that on the court. Like, in the A1 days, you might not like me leaving the court just because we were all, like, trying to be the best and trying to be more alpha male.
Yeah.
And I actually did take every matchup personally, but that was my own journey, like, being an underdog and then, like, being known. You have to live up to your name.
Yeah.
So I would be offended if people were talking to her or thought things, and then I'd leave offended, but not now. So,
speaking of, let's watch some A1 highlights.
Let's go.
You do look 12, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, Professor, teach me all of your moves.
Oh, yeah. We have the ladies in there. These were great, you know, getting to play in these big arenas. You always can never beat the energy of a big arena going crazy, you know? That's the one thing you miss about, like, in the YouTube era, I don't play in arenas as much.
Yeah, that energy has to be so different.
The energy, like this move right here against Headache in Toronto, when I scored after that one, it sounded like game 7 in the NBA. Like, a lot of our games had game 7 NBA finals.
Like, feelings, yeah.
Like, no, that energy. The loudness. And when we play in Madison Square Garden, it literally was like an NBA playoff game or NBA finals, no lie. So, like, those times are really special. Like, it was really dope.
Do you feel like it's like that overseas as well?
It was even louder overseas. It was crazier.
That's what I'm saying. Like, fans overseas, which it's been my first introduction to it this past year, was like, it's like these fans, it's like every game, everything's on the line. You know what I mean? That's how it feels.
It's more once in a lifetime because you might not even go back to that country and they know that, right? So it's more special. It's like you live across the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, the two places we played with the most pandemonium reactions was Japan. Tokyo, Japan.
Uh-huh.
Well, Tokyo and Osaka, but Tokyo especially. And then in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Brazil one was so insane. We played in like a soccer stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And the anticipation, we had never been there, right? And we'd been going, the show had been going for like 4 years. I remember I even just did like a behind the back dribbling up the court, not even on the defender. They lost it, like, you know what I'm saying? The behind the back. And then like we actually shook somebody. Like you might have thought the roof was going to come down. Like it was like crazy. Thing, yeah. We sold out a game on a Wednesday and they literally were like, hey, we'll pay you guys double. Can you stay till Sunday and do another game? And we were like, let's do it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so Brazil and Tokyo.
That's really cool.
Those were insane. But I know what you mean. Overseas is always. I used to only do international videos before COVID, like with YouTube. It was always a great watch, too.
Yeah. We saw the girl with her, like, shirts. What was that like? Were there a lot of girls coming to your guys' games? Like,
oh, yeah, it was. The groupie central, the A1. Yeah.
There had to be, right?
The A1 times, yeah, we were living it up.
Dudes
were married, you know what I'm saying? They did their thing, but most of us were partying every night. We got to the point where we party more than hooping. Like,
really?
Like, we were, it was a tour. It was like hip hop basketball, though. We had six buses.
It makes sense. I guess it's only surprising to me because the person I feel like I know you as, like, you don't seem like a partier now. Am I wrong?
I only go to events. I don't do
that's
parties.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't. Yeah, you don't.
Well, you met me in a good evolved state. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You met me like later down the road, which I love you have a good perception. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But we were
the professor was
wild.
In the clubs.
We're wild. Yeah. Back then. Wild. Yeah. When I moved to LA, I was like, that's why I like a party every night of the week.
Really?
I moved to LA in 06 and I would party on a Monday.
Yep. But you didn't have like, I guess, a dark time where you got too wrapped up in it.
I don't know. You could debate that. You could debate that. I never was a big drinker. I never got into drugs a lot.
Okay,
but
good.
The women is overboard for sure. But I'm Christian now, too. You know, 2011, okay. I accepted Christ. So,
oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, so, you
so
know.
So that changed. That's what changed.
Of course, there's a moral
you?
Shift okay. that comes with that. That's like the moral shift from that is like having that relationship. The fruit of that is like the after effect is your moral, you know, code is going to change and everything. So
was there something
I stopped partying at that moment? Yeah.
Was there something that propelled you into like finding faith?
I mean, a lot of, I think God uses a whole bunch of things, never like one thing, you know what I mean? But yeah, like, I mean, going broke, and one ends out of nowhere, different ownership chain, right? Could have went like the Globetrotters forever, but it just so happened it fell in the hands of owners don't know anything about basketball, much less street ball. Mm-hmm. Like, they knew nothing about basketball. So it just ended out of nowhere. So yeah, I mean, hardship. I actually accepted Christ at Escalade's funeral. Mark Jackson's Escalade's brother. You know Mark? Uh-huh. Mark, the analyst.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
And he was a pastor, though, too. So he did the eulogy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was in Brooklyn. Yeah. That's so 2011.
Have you told him about that?
Oh, we're like fam. We're tight. Yeah. Mark?
Okay.
Yeah, I hit Mark right now. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that was the moment for you. And then it kind of, obviously, it seems like your life was great beforehand, but do you feel like this kind of took you to, you've been successful for what now? Over 20 years, which is also unheard of in like the Hollywood anything space. It's very hard to like stay relevant, stay consistent, have people still care.
Get a second chance.
Yeah, people still care about what you're doing. Blessing. So like how much do you contribute that shift in your life?
Oh, I think it was everything, to be honest. I feel like all good things come from God, personally. So I feel like even my viral video, I got a million subs in a day. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
I feel like I was like ready for it to be used. Now it's like everything's more about like people. You know what I'm saying? You serve people, you serve God. So like my whole platform's now used for that. So I think I was in a good place where God gave me a second chance because I was in a better place than I was before, for sure. Yeah. Like everything I skidded out. For me personally, and all of us in Anwin, but I'm not saying it's because we were rowdy. A lot of celebrities are rowdy, but
it's a slippery slope, though, as you like we've seen with a lot of celebrities. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get wrapped up in that lifestyle, and then you are completely broke, but then you don't get a second chance. And then your career isn't like you don't make that money back that you had before. Then you get used to a lifestyle that you're living so lavishly. And you can't support that lifestyle anymore.
Exactly what happened. Went broke. Yeah, like all type of issues. Yeah.
Was it because like of the partying or like buying things you shouldn't or?
A little bit of everything. I think for me, I was never a big spender. Like I'm not buying boats and car. Like mine was like just bill spend is higher than we're making every month. Yeah. But then you feel like your money stream's endless.
Right.
And then some months like, you know. You make 100 to 200K a month. So are we running out of money? Not to me.
Yeah.
I got a chain and a bin. You know what I'm saying? Like I go on trips. I was never a big spender though. Like I should invest in a real estate at certain times. You know what I mean? But I wasn't making wise investments, but also, it was a little bit of both. I wasn't thinking entrepreneurially. I was thinking more like a hooper. I just hoop and practice all day. Then when we go on tour, we party and hoop and all that. So I was unfocused. To a business person, an entrepreneur, I was very unfocused when that ended. So I think that had a lot to do with it. And then, you know, even after, you know, finding God or whatever, I don't want you to think like, or the audience to think it's just like so polished and perfect now, right? I've had my issues, a lot of things, you know, some women is still like, you know, she's figuring it out as we go, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm not putting you on the craziest pedestal, but I think you're just a great person. I wouldn't work with you as much as we have and like have this friendship if I didn't think that. So
thank you. And likewise too. It's always been great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What advice would you give for, you know, young hoopers coming up now?
Young hoopers.
Or just
focus
space,
on the craft,
you know?
less about the social media, less about the overdoing AAU. Be a gym rat. All the players who are stars in the NBA today were gym rats, especially like guards who have high skill level. Not everybody can be 6'9 and windmill, right? Like, because genetics do weigh in, right? There's a lot of guys
who like Serge Ibaka who started playing at like 18 or something.
Yeah, like if you're that athletically gifted, you could actually not love the game and just play a lot and be naturally gifted, right? You know that you've been around NBA life, so you know that happens. But most of the time, for most people, you're going to have to dedicate an insane amount of time to the skill development of your game. And that's going to come with just like time investment. So you got to like love it. But, you know, advice for me. Yeah. I tell people like you actually have to love it. Like if you don't love it, I can't give you any advice to make the pros because you're not cut out for it. Mm-hmm. Like, just being honest. Like, you may be cut out for college.
Yeah.
Like, if you can actually like it a lot and practice a lot and be a college player, but I don't think you can be a pro, especially if you're a normal size guard, meaning 6'4 and under, you want to make the NBA. You're going to have to love it because your time investment is too much to not love it. Like, you actually won't enjoy it. You just won't put the time
in. Well, that happened to me, though. I didn't even love it enough to make it through college.
Yeah, like, it's a lot. You know, when the even like when I was playing the CBA, you know, like those politics, I actually got on my pro teams to sell tickets because And1 couldn't have been higher, right? I mean, it was A-list. It was on 50 times a week on ESPN. There's only 50 channels, right, or something? 50 to 100 channels? So I got on those teams actually to sell tickets. Then when I got there, they're like, oh, we can play. So every team I played, I'll work my way to the starting lineup. And it was great. But the politics of the game and trying to keep your spot, the injuries, and, you know, you going through an agent and trying to get – it's just a lot. It's a lot.
That's what I actually wanted to ask you, because that's something that a lot of guys – run into, a lot of people in this industry run into, is like agents, managers taking advantage of them. Did you ever have any of that?
I actually had great representation. I always got deprioritized, though, not being in the NBA. So I don't deal with any basketball representation. Is not for somebody not in the NBA, in my opinion. You shouldn't be with an NBA agency if you're doing what we do, creators, or if, I know you're saying you're retired, but like if you're hooping, not an NBA doing the social media thing. You need to stay away from the Rock Nation and the NBA agents, because you'll just be low on the totem pole. They look at it as less glamorous. Even if you make millions of dollars, it's just not their priority.
Right.
So I got deprioritized, and yeah, I had some sticky situations. I think actually most people were great, but maybe I didn't like how they deal with people relationally, or didn't feel like I was getting my max potential out of the deal.
Yeah. Well, even when you were young, too, because you were kind of new to making money. And that's, I feel like, when it's the most vulnerable place, when you're, like, new to the space.
Yeah.
People can just latch on to you.
They totally can. And, yeah, like, I was rep by, like the Goodwin brothers, like, my first few years on And1. And, like, they're cool people. They're, like, dope. And I bet you if you ask Gary Payton how they are, he'd be the best in the world. They still rep Dame Lillard. When we did that little collab, they were there. And I saw a dude I haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah.
And they were super cool. But, like, they didn't care about me at all. Like, you know, we signed a deal. I spoke to once every 2 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that wasn't right? Because you're not really repping me. Like, and it made no sense. We had the hottest show. Like, you could argue it was the hottest show on TV at the time. Not even just sports.
It's crazy.
But, like, I'm not hearing from you.
If it were around today, it would be.
I would have been one of their top clients.
Right. Because you see these reality stars who go on shows and just like make a fool of themselves and are multi-millionaires right after it. And everybody wants to let. Right.
That drama.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
So I think it's all about, like I said, it's a lot of stuff is perception and marketing and like the wave of the culture. So in basketball, if you weren't in the NBA, no matter what you did, it's deprioritized. But outside of And1, you didn't see much outside the NBA that ever, like, went off and had a mass audience, right? So even me coming to social, I didn't know. I was the first basketball influencer of all time on accident. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get bookings, but I'm on all socials with my highlights. So I didn't know, could I have a mass following of a bunch of – I didn't even know if it's possible, right? Now we've learned, like, it's all about just being – it's entertainment.
Yeah.
So everybody can.
Yeah.
If you do it right or if it's marketable enough.
I don't want to put you on blast, but – turning 40 this year.
Let's go. Oh, it's not a blast. I love it. I'm trying to hoop till I'm 50.
Okay, so. That's what I was gonna ask. Like, where do we go from here? You said like physically you're good. You have all the skills that you had. You haven't even hit your peak yet.
That's
what you told me.
I feel like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the trajectory?
Oh,
did I say that correctly? Trajectory.
Of my the professor's career. Goal. You know, I actually never said this publicly. My goal is to play till 2034, so I'll be 50.
Okay.
Right? 10 years from now. And there's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that had long-standing runs that aren't in the NBA. They're like contributors, right? There's like successful women coach for 20 years. There's like referees. There's three Harlem Globetrotters individually. The Harlem Globetrotters, a group, is in there.
Uh-huh.
So my shoot for the moon, maybe I'll never reach it, Land Among Stars to be a contributor in the Hall of Fame. But I think like another 10 years would help more.
Right.
That's what I think.
Because that would be a 30-year basketball career, professional basketball career, essentially.
Yeah. And I don't want to play if I can't put on a show at like a good level. You know what I mean? Because it's still already gone 21. I'm older than LeBron. So we're 21 years in. He's a pro 03.
Yeah.
I'm A1 03, but I'm actually like 6 months older in age. So, yeah, that's my shoot. That's my shoot for the moon. Land amongst the stars, goal. Because if it doesn't happen, it's still a great run. It's all good. But
I don't see why not. I don't see why not. Because you've affected basketball in like every aspect of the sport. You know.
Oh wow, humble.
For sure. I mean, you were just on KG's show, and like to see him kind of, not fanboy, but give you props the way that he did for coming from.
That was amazing. Yeah, KG is the man. That was so fire. And he used to be an A1 guy, too. He was signed to A1, like, before I was even on there.
Yeah.
So it was a full circle moment. That was really cool.
I mean, you get props from all of these people who might end up there. It's like, they don't need to blow smoke. They don't have to say that. You know what I mean? They're around everyone. They're around every Hall of Famer. Yeah. Every NBA player. So
Lord willing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll have to see. But let's put it out there.
Let's go.
I think it's a possibility.
Let's go.
Last question for you. Who is one person who's come up to you, given you flowers, been a fan of yours that really surprised you or like meant a lot?
Oh, Iverson himself. Like when I was growing up, I loved A1 just as much as I loved Iverson. Jordan Iverson and Jay Will, my favorite NBA players growing up. And then when I met Iverson was actually, we went on a tour in China and I played his last three games he ever played with him on the same team on the backcourt.
Did I not know this?
My first NBA collab on YouTube before the word collab existed.
Right.
I got the footage from a promoter. I didn't ask for clearance. It's early YouTube though, so it didn't feel like a big thing.
Yeah.
But the promoter was the homie. Slid me the footage. They shot it horrible, but it still worked. We edited it to make it as good as we can. That was my first NBA collab. Is like three games in China with Iverson. And then he knew who we were. And like, he was a big man, we were flying private on the way back. Because I did two stints when we did something in the Philippines in 2014. And he was going off. He talked about what he was a fan of me for like 15 straight minutes, 10 minutes real time, and then Bone Collector, and on the flight home, it was crazy. It was very surreal.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so that was my...
Obviously being your idol, too, that you're on the court with him all of a sudden.
Yeah, even... It's hard to process, too, because, like, people are at a distance in entertainment, and then, like, you're like, wait, you meet him, you're shocked they know you, but it's like, wait, you're actually a fan? Like,
that was
he even asked me, he's like... Because I told him that crossover, bro. I was like, that was the first move that was like the cheat code move for me. I crossover grown adults. I was like this tall. You know what I'm saying? Literally, I'm 4 foot something. And he was like, why'd you stop doing the move? And I was like, I mean, they started calling it carry. You stop. I stop. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's like my moment when I went up against Candace Parker in the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game.
That was sick.
She started guarding me. And it was like... It's like all noise went away. But then I was overcome. Like, I was overwhelmed with fear, actually.
It's hard, though, right?
Wait a second.
That main stage.
Yeah. I'm like, why are you guarding me? I can't do anything with you guarding me. Like, why are you here? But
you played good, though.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
But when she – and I think this was also my New Orleans game because I played in two.
That's right.
I played well in both, but – when she guarded me, she said, you better not shoot it. You better not shoot it. Because, of course, that's all I was doing in both of those games. I said, don't worry, I won't. And, like, literally passed it.
You're so funny.
I was like, I'm good.
Like, you're so, like.
Goodness, I respect your game.
But that's how
But that was someone I watched from. And I always wanted, like, my dream was to go to the University of Tennessee. And I wasn't good enough to get there. I made Division One. But Tennessee at the time, it was, like, UConn and Tennessee were by a mile.
Goat-tier
schools,
you know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I had so much, like, Tennessee gear, and she was one of my favorite players. And so for me to never play professionally, but then to have that moment, which felt like a – like, being on the biggest stage I could possibly be on without ever playing pro with her, it was just really cool.
That's super dope.
Yeah.
Literally.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
What else should we be on the lookout for?
Stay tuned to my socials. I've been promoting this for a while, but I'm literally close to launching now. You go to crossover5.com. Crossover spelled out, number5.com. Sign up. You get a free video. It's all free, but you'll be notified. I'm trying to drop my program, my online program.
Okay.
You know, cool. Where people can learn handles from me, and then you can sign up monthly if you want to be on a live. I'm going to go live once a month, do the workouts. So look out for that. It's called Crossed Up University.
Crossed Up.
I need it. Crossed Up University.
Okay. Let's say I could definitely use that.
Let's go.
As you know, my handles are so weak. Oh, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? You in-house. You know what I'm saying? We get the free.
Yeah. You need like a, if you need like a women's side, I can demo that.
Hey, never know though. Because I do want to expand. Like, it's to start with handles. That's what everybody knows me as. Mm-hmm. But eventually we go into shooting and all that. Because can't just be effective in one area, right? People don't even know. At mid-range. Like I said, at mid-range, it's auto. So, I mean, we'll talk.
Thank you so much. This was amazing.
Thanks for having me on.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Season 3, you'll be back again.
Honored. Let's go.
For my text. Thank you.
Thank you.